What do you make out of the change of guard in Punjab? Captain Amrinder Singh has been replaced by Charanjit Singh Channi today. Channi was sworn in as the new chief minister. He's a Dalit Sikh. The first Dalit Sikh to become the chief minister of Punjab. It's a big message to the Dalits in Punjab. Dalits constitute about 32% of the population. It's a big message. And look at the combination. So you have Jat Sikh, that is Navjot Singh Sidhu, as the state Congress president. And then you have a Dalit Sikh as the chief minister. And then you have two deputy chief ministers. One, Sukhjinder Singh Randhawa, he is another Jat Sikh. And then you have O.P. Soni, who is a Hindu. So you look at the state, look at the social composition of the state, and it's a wonderful combination, especially when the Congress was under pressure. Look, Shiromani Akali Dal has tied up with the Bahujan Samaj Party, although BSP has not been a major force in Punjab. But then together they could hope to kind of wean away Dalit votes from the Congress. And then you have Shiromani Akali Dal and Aam Aadmi Party promising a Dalit deputy chief minister. In that scenario, it's a big move. And then don't forget, it was not just about Punjab. So you have two other states, UP and Uttarakhand, with substantial Dalit population going to polls along with Punjab next February. So in terms of messaging, it was a master stroke. But in this episode of Politically Correct, I'm going to discuss why, you know, it was a master stroke, but it was not by choice or by design. It was by default, or rather compulsion. You must have read everything that happened yesterday, but let me just sum it up. So the idea was to replace the captain, chief minister. It was achieved. But then Navjot Singh Sidhu, the high command, the Congress high command's man in Punjab, for whom the entire thing was done, couldn't be installed, because you saw how right after submitting his resignation, Amrinder Singh took a swipe at him, basically calling him a security threat. He was talking about how, you know, Navjot Singh Sidhu, when he went for Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan's swearing in, he had hugged the Chief of Army Staff of Pakistan. And these, you know, optics matter. I mean, Sidhu really messed it up. In a border state, when these things are rigged up, it really goes against you. So the Congress could not have taken a chance to go with Sidhu, although he was insisting that he wanted to be CM just right now. Congress played it safe, but the idea was to get a stopgap person there who would be willing to vacate the chair for Sidhu after elections are over. So first the name of Sunil Jakhar came, a Hindu CM. Again, it was supposed to be a big move, but then Sidhu put his foot down. He did not want Sunil Jakhar, because he thought, or what we were given to understand, is Sidhu believed that, you know, Jakhar, if he stays for 5 months and the Congress wins the election, Jakhar may not be willing to vacate the chair for him. So he put his foot down, no Hindu CM. That option was ruled out. Then the high command, you know, came up with the option of, that was later actually, after that, Ambika Soni, a veteran Congress leader, her name was suggested. And Soni, in fact, met Rahul Gandhi in the midnight, on Saturday, Sunday midnight. Soni declined. But, you know, the Soni choice, the fact that the Congress High Command wanted Ambika Soni, tells you something. See, if many of you, in my previous episodes, whenever I have talked about Captain Amrinder Singh, many of you argued that, well, he was 79. It was time for him to move on. He had to step down. But that was not the reason. Congress was not actually looking for a generational shift. Because Ambika Soni, if I recall it right, they're both born in 42. I mean, they're almost 78, 79. Ambika Soni is just about 8 months younger to Amrinder Singh. So it was not about generational shift. It was not about governance deficit either. Because Soni, she was the AICC General Secretary in charge of several states. She decided to step down because she could not travel that much at that age. So it was not about governance deficit either. Soni's choice made things very clear. What the Congress High Command was looking for was a stopgap arrangement in Punjab. So you rule for the next 5 months, you become the chief minister for the next 5-6 months. And if the Congress comes back to power, and Congress gets a renewed mandate, then Navjot Singh Sidhu will be the face. Soni declined, and you have to appreciate this decision actually, because nobody lets go of any opportunity to occupy the CM's chair even for a day. We are talking about 6 months, and CSC has never been a chief minister. But she declined. She came out and said that, you know, Punjab should have a 6 CM. After that, Randhawa's name came. But again, Sidhu had the same insecurity. What if Randhawa refuses to vacate the chair when the time comes? So he put the foot down again. And Randhawa was kind of a comrade in arms for Sidhu, because they were all together in opposing Captain Amrinder Singh. But Sidhu put his foot down. Randhawa could not be the choice. Finally, Sidhu agreed on Chani's name. Now, fine. Till then, it was very fine because, you know, the messaging was great. And everybody is talking about it. Congress spokesperson, Congress leaders, they went about writing, you know, it will have a... this message will go across the country. It was not limited to Punjab. And they were partly right, in fact. But then I bring you to another point. And before that, let me see. If you can discuss, you know, this question everybody is asking. That did the Congress High Command achieve what Modi and Shah achieved in Gujarat, or for that matter in Uttarakhand? In Gujarat, we saw, we have discussed it in our previous episodes. In Gujarat, Modi shunted out the chief minister, and the entire his council of ministers actually lock, stock and barrel. None of those ministers were inducted in the next government, headed by Bhupendra Patel. But then the objectives of the BJP High Command and the Congress High Command were very different. For the BJP High Command, the idea was to beat anti-incumbency. The idea was to actually, you know, send a message to Patidars by actually bringing, by in fact making a Karwa Patel the chief minister of Gujarat. Karwa's, never in the history of Gujarat has there been a Karwa Patel as the chief minister. But then the message went to the entire Patidar community. Results, we don't know. I mean, you may blame Modi for actually running the state by proxy through the bureaucracy. Of course, Kailash Nathan, his principal secretary in the past, chief principal secretary, he has been getting several extensions. He has got another extension. So the idea is very clear that, okay, Gujarat will be run by proxy. But that's fine, because it's not about who the political executive is there. As long as Modi and Shah are keeping a watch from here, and it's Modi for whom people vote. It's not for Rupani in the past or for Bhupendra Patel in future. It will obviously be Modi. But that apart, the issue here is, what was the objective? I mean, Modi was doing it for the party. It was in party's interest. So you might have criticized him for having, changed Trivandrum Singh Rawat and then bungling it up and changing his replacement also, Tirath Singh Rawat, within 4 months. Again, the idea was to beat anti-incumbency, and it was in party's interest. But look at the High Command's objective here. As I said, it's about installing a person who the Gandhi siblings like, Navjot Singh Sidhu. And for that, they went about demolishing the image of Captain Amrinder Singh. He was humiliated, actually. We have discussed this earlier. What have they achieved? If the idea, there were two principal objectives. One was, of course, Sidhu, the family's man. And you know, if you're the high command lit has to be accepted by everybody. And Amrinder Singh was somebody, he was not ready to act as a regent, I would say. He was trying to act as a sovereign, somebody who had got a mandate from the people in 2017. He wouldn't listen to the High Command, so he had to go. And the larger idea was, by shunting out the chief minister like this, you're sending out the message that, you know, the Congress High Command's writ runs in this party. And no matter whether it's Amrinder Singh, a popular CM or not so popular CM, if the High Command wants you, you have to go. Has the Congress achieved those objectives? Let's come to that. So first, see, we talked about the messaging and how it was perfect. It was a master stroke, what we believed till yesterday. But after that, how the High Command has messed it up. We are talking about the first objective, how Sidhu lost out. But then you brought Chani and everybody was applauding you. What has happened now? So yesterday, Harish Rawat, and Sidhu was so upset and how Sidhu had to be mollified. So Harish Rawat gave a statement yesterday and I'll read it out. It's a very convoluted statement. He said the next election would be fought with the CM's cabinet under Punjab Pradesh Congress Committee, whose chief is Navjot Singh Sidhu, who is very popular. very convoluted, but the broad message was that Channi would not be the CM candidate in the next election. It would be under the leadership of Navjot Singh Sidhu. Of course, Sunil Jakha, he was very upset. He gave a statement that Rawat had no business making that statement. He is undermining the new CM. And if the message was lost on somebody, today you had Congress spokesperson Randhir Singh Surjewala addressing another press conference in Delhi. And look what he has said. Surjewala says, the party's face for the 2022 Punjab election will be CM Charanjit Singh Channi, along with Punjab Congress Chief Navjot Singh Sidhu and all capable leaders of the party. So basically, what's your message? There is a very clear message that, well, Channi may be the chief minister, but he may not be the chief minister post-elections. You're trying to basically mollify Sidhu. And in the process of mollifying Sidhu, you have messed it up. Now the message in Punjab would be that Channi, a Dalit Sikh, is just a stopgap arrangement. The party has completely messed up. And then, if you talk about what next, they have messed it up, that's the situation today. What next? So Amrinder Singh is still out there. We don't know what he'll do. At 79, he did not seem to have many options, but he's like a wounded tiger. He feels humiliated. So first, you have to watch out for his moves. And then the bigger threat, in fact, is Navjot Singh Sidhu. Look, he agreed on Channi's name. Channi was, as I said, a comrade in arms. But then, as you know, our time progresses, and suppose Channi starts getting better and better, stronger and stronger as an administrator, Sidhu is not going to let him kind of emerge as a very successful administrator. And we have seen Sidhu, how his ambitions soar. You've seen how he walked out of the BJP and how in 2017 he did not join the Aam Aadmi Party because AAP did not offer him the CM candidate. He comes to Congress. Again, he pushes for his projection as a CM. And we have seen what has happened. So Navjot Singh Sidhu is not going to let Channi function so independently or, in fact, establish himself as an able administrator and politician. So watch out for Navjot Singh Sidhu in the next few weeks and months. The same fight will start again. And just imagine, what if, you know, you have brought Channi saying that Amrinder Singh could not deliver. So there are just two scenarios. In one scenario, Channi is not able to deliver in 5 months what the captain could not deliver in 4.5 years. Well, voters will not take kindly to it. Because even after the change of guard, if those promises are not kept, you know how they'll react. But this, in another scenario is, if Channi is able to deliver, if he's able to make a difference, what happens? The Congress High Command will find it very difficult to replace him then. Mind it, Congress people have been talking about, you know, how this is a big message to the Dalit community, not just in Punjab, but outside, but across the country. Now, if that CM happens to be successful, you cannot be booting out a successful CM if the party wins the election under his leadership. So, very complicated situation. In fact, the Congress High Command has, I would say, dug itself into a hole. So now, right from day one, Channi will feel insecure and that infighting will continue. That apart, coming to the second objective of the High Command, forget about Sidhu. We are talking about High Command's writ. So has the High Command supremacy been re-established? Today morning, we saw T.S. Singh Dev, Chhattisgarh Health Minister, who has been seeking to replace Bhupesh Baghel in Chhattisgarh as the Chief Minister. He rushed to Delhi. He's supposedly on a personal visit, but obviously we know, like, for the last several weeks, he has been lobbying here, saying that Rahul Gandhi had promised rotational chief ministership between him and Bhupesh Baghel in 2018 when the Congress came to power, and the High Command has to implement it now. So he has been pushing. In Rajasthan, of course, you know how Sachin Pilot has been pretty upset. Sachin Pilot has been demanding the chief minister's post. That was the major cause for his rebellion, along with the 22 other MLAs. Now the idea is that, you know, Ashok Gehlot is going to expand his cabinet, induct some of Sachin Pilot's people as ministers for now. And then maybe sometime next year, Ashok Gehlot should vacate. So now obviously everybody is looking at this scenario where now that the high command has established a supremacy, supposedly I would say in Punjab, other CMs will actually fall in place. They won't really object, looking at how what has happened to Captain Amrinder Singh. But there is a catch. Now Amrinder Singh is 79. We have said we don't know. He may spring a surprise. I mean, he may decide to lie low. He may decide not to retaliate. You know, Amrinder Singh was somebody who is a friend of Rajiv Gandhi in Dhoni school. In fact, even when Priyanka Gandhi and Rahul Gandhi, they were in schools, Amrinder Singh would go to visit them and take them out for lunches and dinners because Sonia Gandhi and Rajiv Gandhi were so busy. That kind of equation he had with the family. And now the Gandhi siblings have humiliated him so much. So whether he will lie low, whether he'll accept, okay, that's how they have been, and he'll accept what has happened to him, or he will hit back, that we'll see. But when it comes to the high command writ in other states, there are many ifs and buts. See, Amrinder Singh is 79. He may think that, okay, it's over now. But then Ashok Gehlot is 70 and is fine, fit, and he is in no mood to kind of, he has not shown any indication of even thinking of hanging his boots. Bhupesh Baghel is 60. Can the Congress High Command go after them? See, Amrinder Singh did not go for rebellion. In my live show on Saturday, that Polygraph, I had discussed about this Virendra Patil's case, the Karnataka chief minister who was suddenly, you know, Rajiv Gandhi had gone there and suddenly announced that he would be replaced in 4 days. And the Congress Legislature Party in Karnataka with me, that was way back in 1989, of course, but Rajiv Gandhi had declared that CLP will be meeting in the next 4 days. And then choose a new leader. But then Virendra Patil put his foot down. He was the CLP leader, he was the chief minister. He refused to convene the CLP meeting. Now there was a kind of constitutional impasse. The Karnataka governor then, he declared that, okay, he would not be recognizing any change of leadership by the CLP unless the CLP leader is part of the deliberation. There was nothing the Congress High Command could do then. So they had to basically impose president's rule and keep the assembly under suspended animation. And then the rest is history. But then Captain Amrinder Singh could have opted for the same. So Captain Amrinder Singh he did not call the CLP meeting in Punjab. What if he had said, I don't recognize it? And don't forget, a Punjab governor has been appointed by Modi and Shah here. And you know which side they would weigh in. Amrinder Singh could have made it complicated for the Congress, but he didn't. He decided to opt out and plan his future course of action. But what is the guarantee that other CMs won't do that? Or they may not. Probably they are all party loyalists. They may not. But then they will definitely resist. When the high command decides to kind of play on them, you never know. There are many others, like say Uman Chandi in Kerala, somebody like, or Ramesh Chandithala in Kerala. You have other regional satraps like say Siddaramaiah in Karnataka, who the Congress High Command did not really favor very much. You have somebody like Bhupinder Hooda in Haryana. If all these people who are mass leaders actually, they are not pushovers, if they decide to join force, because if you prey on them one by one, after Amrinder, maybe Bhupesh Baghel or maybe Ashok Gehlot, it will go on. What happens in future? We will see. But I have just told you what is happening in Punjab and what are the possibilities in other states in future. There remains a big question mark on the High Command's writ or the High Command's supremacy even today, even after the High Command has been able to replace or to sack Captain Amrinder Singh. That's all from me in this episode of Politically Correct. Thanks for watching.